Welcome to UFOs and the Paranormal, and my name is Christine Kisara-Dennett. And let me just ask you a question. Do you think you can travel out of your body? Well, this is a question that has been explored thoroughly by my brother-in-law, Preston Dennett. And the reason why I'm hosting this show is because we're going to talk about his book, Out of Body Exploring, A Beginner's Approach. And I was wondering also to all our viewers, are you willing to try and go out of your body? Well, if you are, you're listening to one of the foremost experts on the subject of out-of-body explorations. Hi, Preston. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Christy. Thank you. Thank you for hosting the show.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to, because I remember you talking to me about your experiences and then you deciding to write this book, and it's an excellent book. It's very I believe that most people can benefit a great deal from this book. But let me ask you, what exactly is an out-of-body experience?
Well, those of you who don't know, an out-of-body experience is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It's when you perceive yourself as existing apart from your physical body, basically in, with a dream body or an astral body. And the truth is, we don't actually have only a physical body and an astral body. We have, according to the literature on the subject, like 8 bodies. So we have a physical, an astral, a physical, an etheric, an astral, a causal, and a buddhic body, and it goes on. So basically, the human organism is much more complicated, I think, than a lot of people realize, and we do have the ability to leave our physical body and travel. We have different abilities than with the astral body than we do with the physical body. The astral body has the ability to fly. It has the ability to move through solid objects. It has the ability of teleportation. It can go from one location to another pretty much instantly.
That's really fascinating. Like, for somebody who's not really experienced with out-of-body experiences, what would be the first kind of indication that they may be having an out-of-body experience?
Well, you know what? The out-of-body experience is actually one of the single most common psychic experiences that people can have. Most everyone in their life has some type of out-of-body experience at least once. That and a dream which comes true.
How would they know, though?
Right. Well, in a lot of cases, it's a very, very vivid dream. And, in fact, a lot of our dreams are, in fact, half-remembered out-of-body experiences. And, I mean, you know when you're out-of-body, when you are really out-of-body. I mean, there's just no denying it. In the beginning, it can be a little confusing because the experiences can be very dreamlike. And it was true for me. I'd pop out of my body and I'd be like, I wonder if this is a dream, a lucid dream, in which you wake up while you're dreaming, right? And so I became obsessed for a year with trying to find proof. And I would walk around the house and look for things, you know, that would try, and I'd fly to locations. I finally was able to do it. It took me a long time, though. I flew under a bridge near my house, where the LA River is.
Uh-huh.
And I had always, you know, this is a cement river. And when I flew there out of body, I was out of body, I was amazed to see that there was dirt banks all over the place on the sides of the river. And this is, you know, totally cement. And not only was there dirt banks, there was grass growing and litter and stuff, Coke cans. And I thought, well, that's not real. That's I guess what you would call a mental projection, right? That you're creating. And so I went back into my body, and I'm like, well, this is not too far away from my house. I'll go check it. And I did check it, and I was amazed to see that it looked, I mean, there were the dirt banks, just like I had seen, out of body.
That is so fascinating. I mean, did it feel real, or was it more, I mean, you know how you feel now in your body. And you're astral planing, is there kind of a different sensation? Are there sounds?
it is different, and it's so cool and very fascinating, and it's hard to explain. Because when you pop out of body, your perception is a little different. And in fact, I had a lot of trouble seeing in the beginning. I would walk around pretty much half blind, and it took me a lot of effort to really see clearly. And when you can finally learn how to see, I guess, your perception is much better than it is in the physical. I'm nearsighted. I can see very clearly out of body, and sometimes in 360 degrees. So that's been really rare.
That's really fascinating.
And everything takes on a kind of glow or a hue, a vibration. Colors are amazing. They just leap out at you. And you can actually feel physical objects. You can feel them. And like when you walk through a wall, you can actually feel the wall. And the sensation is incredible. But I've never been able to move any physical objects.
Huh.
And that was another thing I was obsessed with for the first year or two, still a little bit. And I'd go out of body. I'd feel all the sensations. I'd lift out of body. Or I'd just wake up and already be out of body in the middle of the night. And I would try to, like, lift my laundry basket. I'd not try to knock over the light. I'd try to turn on light switches, open doors. Nothing.
And how did you know it was not just a dream?
Because what happens is you're lying there in bed, and your body starts to experience these incredible sensations of either heaviness or lightness or numbness or mainly vibration. And it reaches this incredible vibration, and you actually lift out of your body. You physically feel it, and it's not a dream. I mean, I can't tell you for sure that some of these are not dreams.
Uh-huh.
Right? But once you do it for yourself, it's absolutely convincing. I mean, you are...
Well, I do know from personal experience, I left my body a couple of times. And my personal experience was that I got a very powerful buzzing.
Right. That's
and
the, that's
I was
the vibratory
curious
state.
About whether or not you had experienced that.
That's a very, very... important stage. It's called the vibratory state, and this is the main, I guess, indicator that you are ready and primed to have an out-of-body experience. And what it is when you reach a state of physical relaxation that is so profound that it sort of loosens up your astral body and raises, and it's allowed to sort of raise its vibration to the point where it can enter the astral plane. And from my understanding of the literature and my own experience is this is basically when you're piercing the veil, the vibration between this physical world and the next, which vibrates at a much higher frequency, but is otherwise apparently in a complete duplicate of the physical world.
That's absolutely fascinating, because when I had these experiences, I had no idea what was happening to me, and I became very afraid.
Right.
I understand now what my experiences were, but it would have been very helpful for me to know, to have been able to read your book and understand what was happening, because what it sounds like to me, this is a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. You know, I'm so sad because I've talked to a lot of people. You know, I've taught classes on this, and I've taught a lot of people how to go out of body. And people often tell me, oh, it's too scary. And I'm like, no. Well, it is scary. It can be very scary. First, for me, the first few times were, in fact, very scary. And this is a kind of a barrier for a lot of people, an obstacle to overcome. And it's a great, great way to face your fears, because the truth is the out-of-body experience is totally safe. And, I mean, I can just go through the dangers for you if you want the illusory dangers, like... There's been a lot written about this. I've read everything, all the books on it. And one of the, I think, the biggest fears that people have is getting possessed while you're out of body.
Oh.
And this can't happen because you have this cord, this silver cord, which attaches you to your body. And if anything ever goes wrong, it just brings you right back. And when you're doing these out-of-body journeys, your spirit guides are with you. More than likely, you're going to have someone very close to you when you start doing this, and until you get really good at it, right? And even then, I mean, you're always with your spirit guides.
The silver cord's a very interesting thing that you mentioned right now. Could you explain a little bit more about the silver cord? Is it connecting our bodies together, or?
Right. I mean, that's what it's perceived that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, and it's a very, very common thing. It's been commonly reported in, like, near-death experiences as well as out-of-body experiences. And it's this glowing white cord, or silver, which attaches the physical body to the astral body. And in some cases, it appears to attach to the back of the head, and others to the chest. I'm not sure if that is really even important. In whatever case, it's a non-physical thing, so it can't be destroyed, this cord.
Uh-huh.
And there's absolutely no danger of being hurt in the astral planes because you're not physical. And that's a really hard thing to get over.
Yes.
And, you know, I tried for years and years and years to see my cord, my silver cord, and I never, ever, ever could. And this wasn't in the book, so this is actually an extra experience that is not in the book. I finally was able to do it. And it was turned out, of course, to be really bizarre. You know, I've read so many people who've seen their cord, and it finally just, I became obsessed with it. And this is how you, I think, have successful out-of-body experiences. You set a very strong intention.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to be very, very focused, and it's easy to forget what you're doing. So if you have a plan to do some specific thing and go out-of-body, you'll probably be successful at it. And so I went to bed meditating. I want to see my cord. I want to see my silver cord. And that night I had an out-of-body experience, and I woke up and I was surrounded by this white hose, this glowing white hose, which was, you know, a couple of inches thick, like a normal garden hose.
Oh, wow.
Right? But and maybe a little thicker, actually. And I was looped up in it. I would say about 20 feet of it was all looped up around my body, and I'm like, what is going on? I had no idea what was going on, really. I'm just trying to free myself from this white hose. And I'm pulling around, and I'm pulling and pulling and pulling on it. So I'm like, okay, what I'm just going to do is keep on pulling on it until I find out what happens. So I took, and I was pulling on it, and I'm pulling, and I fell inside of it, is what I actually did. And I popped out into another dimension, or actually what I perceived as my mind. I popped into my own mind is what this is what I perceived it to be.
Uh-huh.
And what was amazing, it was really dark. It was this tiny little room, but there was these really bright spots in the center, which I think kind of represented where I had reached some sort of enlightenment or illumination, but I was surprised to see how much junk was in there and how much cleaning out it needed to be and how many dark spaces there were.
So there's, there's an infinite possibilities as to where you can travel and what you can experience in astral travel.
Oh, this is why I urge everyone to do it. First of all, I mean, you go out of body and this, if you've never flown, it is the most absolute funnest thing you could ever do. And that's only the beginning. You can do absolutely anything, like you said. You can explore your past lives, which is really interesting. I've got a lot of stories about that. You can visit the future, you know, and have prophecies of future events. And I tell you, almost every time I've had an out of body experience, I come back with some sort of dream which comes true. And it started happening in waking life. I would have waking visions. And, so this totally wakens you up psychically, for one thing. You can have feasts of food. You can create feasts of food. You can create any kind of fantasy you want, any kind of sexual fantasy.
How about if you want to contact somebody in their dream, in their astral travels?
Okay, you're talking about another one of my obsessions. When I started doing this, I'm like, okay, is this really happening? I started visiting everyone I knew. And that's when I became really shocked to find out that people did not remember seeing me. And in fact, like, I went to see my sister Victoria, and I'm like, are you going to remember this? And she said, no, I'm not going to remember this. She says, I'm in that weird in-between state. And how someone can know that they're out of body or in this in-between state and know they're not going to remember it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is what she said. And I'm like, okay. So I created a UFO, you know, with my mind, and I put it in the sky. and it was this amazing UFO sighting. And everyone was like, oohing and aahing, and I'm like, okay, you'll remember that, right? And she's like, I might. And I called her up. No, she did not remember. I went to my brother Stephen, same type of thing. I'm like, I'm out of body, and I think you are too. And he's like, what are you talking about?
This is when you were in your astral body at the time you went and saw Stephen, and you had a conversation with him.
Right, right. And he's out of body too, I'm presuming. You know when you're visiting someone because the qualities of the presence are there.
Uh-huh.
And there'll be times you have projections where you're visited by basically lucid dreams, I guess is what you would call them. And you have all these projections of people around you, but they're not real.
Uh-huh.
But you can tell the difference because the quality of their presence is there.
So lucid dreaming is when you actually know that you're in a dream and you have complete control over it.
Not necessarily complete control. All it really means is that you're aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming.
Okay.
If you're an advanced lucid dreamer and you can control it, that is great news because you're very far along the spiritual path.
Yes.
And I've tried to control lucid dreams with very limited success. There's this Buddhist doctrine of becoming enlightened. Is what you do is you turn everything into its opposite in the lucid dream state. And once you can control it, these abilities sort of manifest in the waking state. So if you see something small, you turn it big. If you see a lot of something, you turn it into one. So you're working with form and numbers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to do that a couple of times, but hasn't manifested.
That's
yet.
Very fascinating. I'm going to see $100 bill in my jacket pocket.
You know, and people actually, you know, that. So funny you said that, because there are like four or five cases I know of out-of-body explorers who have manifested money on the physical plane. And I'm not even kidding.
And that's through their dreaming or their astral projection?
Yeah. They'll have, you know, Robert Monroe did it. He had what he called a pair of money pants.
Uh-huh.
And he says money would appear in the pocket. And Bruce Moen, I believe he did it. He needed money and he's like, where am I going to get it? And money manifested. So you can manifest stuff, absolutely. And in fact, you know, I've been in meditation where I've kind of reached the out-of-body state, but I'm still in my body. And I can start visualizing stuff with such absolute clarity that I can feel it, I can taste it, I can see it. And when I open my eyes, it's not there. But you know what? I feel like it's halfway. I really do.
That is so fascinating, and for anybody who's just come on to the program, we're talking to Preston Dennett on UFOs and the paranormal, and we're interviewing him about his wonderful book on out-of-body exploring, A Beginner's Approach, and you can read this book and learn how to explore out of your body into lucid dream worlds. And actually, from my experience, I've actually been wide awake while I've been walking around in my astral body. And you can go to all these different worlds. Tell me about where you've been.
Oh, God. You know, when I first started, okay, my very first experiences were limited to my bedroom because it was scary. The first time I popped out,
uh-huh.
I thought, uh-oh, you know, this is not so fun anymore. I think I might have actually just died.
And it gave you a sensation of dying?
Yeah, it really did, because I felt like I had just left my body and died.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And I got overwhelmed with terror and that sort of cold dread.
Uh-huh.
And I popped back in my body, and I woke up, and it took me a second to remember what just happened, and I'm like, oh, I went out of body, and I was so happy. So it was weird to go from like such weird fear to being really happy. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time, I popped out, and I'm like, okay, I'm not scared. This is just too exciting. And I floated right into the bathroom, and I grabbed the counter. I looked up in the mirror, and there's nothing there, which is weird. And I'm like so excited. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And I was just so excited that I got pulled back by this force horizontally into my bedroom, and I popped back down in my body. So the first bunch of times were pretty much in my bedroom, and then around the house, and I started, like, popping up to the top of the house, I'd walk around on the top of the house, and I'd like fly up to the top of the eucalyptus tree near the house, which, you know, was there then. It's not there now.
Yes.
And it was a couple hundred feet up.
So you would go through walls.
Yeah, and that is an amazing thing to do. I never purposefully invaded people's privacy, but I did occasionally like wake up out of body in other people's homes or bedrooms. And, you know, so it's a very weird thing. I think that if you're a very moral person, a good person, you'll have a lot better success with this.
Yes.
My feeling is that there is a lot of guidance involved with your spirit guides and so on. And so, and that's what I did in the beginning. But and I'm like, okay, am I really out of body? I have to visit everyone I know. So I'd like go to your house, which I did several times, which was really cool because you'd fly over the San Fernando Valley and you're seeing all these buildings and you see this apartment building and you plop down, which somehow is yours. I'm guided to it, you know. And a couple of times I had to sort of make my own way through directions, but usually I'd be, like, guided.
So in the astral plane, are you traveling through unfamiliar territory as you're traveling, or is it all pretty much recognizable?
Well, at this point I hadn't actually made it to the astral plane,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. I was just exploring the physical world.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In my astral body, right?
Right.
Which I wasn't able to do for long, only like for a year or two. I mean, I went to a friend's house in San Francisco, and it was a really cool experience because I just had this urge to go there, and I found these two kids out of body, and I'm like, do you want to, I said, did you know you're out of body? And they looked at me like I was a madman. I'm like, did you know you could fly? And that excited them, so I took them both in each hand, and we flew away.
Oh, wow, so you met somebody.
Yeah, and I've done that several times. I did that with your daughter. And I went over to your house, and I was purposely going to see you, actually. And I popped down into your house, and Mudita was there.
Uh-huh.
And she smiled, and she seemed to know that I wanted to see you. And she took me into your room, and I tried to find, you know, proof. I was just looking at things to make sure I was really out of body. And you were not around, so we took each other hand in hand and flew out into outer space.
Oh, wow. So you got to go to outer space.
Yeah, and that's another thing I did. And, you know, this is, may sound unbelievable, but God's honest truth, I heard about Robert Monroe and his team of explorers visiting the moon. I'm like, well, how hard can that be? It's far away, but supposedly you can move really quickly. I mean, I went to San Francisco in an instant. I went to San Diego in an instant. So how far away is the moon? So I popped out of body, and I looked for the moon. It was a full moon or near that. And I saw it.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, there it is. And so I just aimed towards it. And I put on my thrusters, so to speak.
Because
you kind of learn how to move. You have to mentally project yourself. And it got, I'm like, uh-oh, this is taking a long time, which worries me because I only have like 5 minutes of consciousness allowed to me usually.
Yes.
And so I'm like, go faster, 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 faster. And you know, it's hard to get bigger and bigger and clearer. I'm like, oh my God, this is really happening. I'm kind of breathless, even though you don't have to breathe. I'm like, this is really exciting. And I'm like, suddenly it was just taking up all the space in front of me, and I landed, and I'm coming down on my feet, and I landed, and I stood on the surface of the moon. God's honest truth, I was so excited. And I looked around me, and there was nothing but craters and dust. I'm like, well, is there anything here? You know, take me to see if there's anything here. Is what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
And so I move around a little bit, or I blink. I don't quite remember, but suddenly I'm looking at this dome, which you would never, ever, ever notice because it's exactly the same color as the moon. The only really distinguishing feature is it's smooth. It's obviously not a rock. It's some sort of polished metallic or ceramic material. I don't know.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, what's in there? Because it's big. You know, it's not a little house. I would say it's a little stadium, a tiny little stadium.
Uh-huh.
And so I fly through the walls, and I am horrified. It is a human base, and it is a laboratory, and it's lit up, and there's rows of tables and with things on the tables and along the walls, and a lot of stuff I really don't recognize because, again, your perception is a little weird out of body.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at things, and I couldn't recognize them. And so I went up to, I'm going down these tables, and I'm like, okay, this is a cage, and there's an animal in it. And as I recall, it had something growing out of its neck. And so it was all these awful genetic experiments was what I finally realized it was.
That is really creepy.
It was. And
no.
I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's real. It could be a projection. I don't know.
So would you consider that still basically on the physical plane, going to the moon?
I would. But, you know, after that, I came very, very hard. Not after that experience, but around that time, or at some point, it became very hard for me to stay on the physical plane, and I'd always pop out into the astral planes.
Okay. So what is the difference, astral plane, physical plane?
The physical plane is the astral plane solidified. It's a projection of the astral plane. The physical plane is a projection of the astral plane, a reflection of it. The astral plane is the real world. It is much more vivid. It does not decay like the physical world decays. So, and neither does your astral body. So that is the whole, it's all superior there. This is the fake world, and that's the real world. Let's just get that straight right away.
And I noticed that you mentioned that the astral body is so-called the emotional body or the desire body.
Right, right. That's what occultists call it, the desire body. And once you go out of body, I'll tell you what, you'll find out real quick why they call it the desire body. Because this is apparently the astral plane, the astral body, where your emotions come from, where they're dealt with, I guess.
Yes.
So what happens is, if you examine your dreams, and I wrote all my dreams down through my entire life, examined everyone, and I've interviewed a lot of people about dreams and read all the books, I would say 80% of your dreams are your hopes and your fears. You know, you're suppressed, and the rest are like suppressed emotions and sort of a purging stuff of the images you've seen throughout the day.
Uh-huh.
And the astral plane is where you work out your hopes and your fears. So when you pop out of body, what happens is, and you pop into the astral plane, you're in a place where your thoughts manifest around you in full color. And so what happens is you're put into these dramas where you manifest your hopes and your fears. And these are dreams. This is
Can you give me an example, personal example?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, what happens to me is I would become consumed with this, first, you know, a desire to eat. And so what I would do is I'd manifest foods, and I have my favorite foods that I manifest, and I couldn't really control myself. I had to do this. Sometimes I'd just destroy stuff. I'd become maniacal, and I would destroy things. And but after that, I'd start eating. I would eat sour cream and onion potato chips, Neapolitan ice cream, brownies, chicken, and...
Did you actually taste the food?
You can actually taste it, and what's funny is it's very, very vivid. Sometimes, you know, and I had a glass of orange juice on the astral plane. It was unreal. But, yeah, you can actually taste it. It goes in your mouth. It's completely real, but it sort of disappears at the beginning of your throat, right at the end of your mouth, so it doesn't fill you up.
Oh, wow.
But you really have the sensation of it in all the... You know, the cravings, you have these insane cravings, and like can be for thirst as well. This is somehow, sometimes I'd realize I was out of body because I'd get these insane cravings for thirst, and nothing would satisfy it, or food. And so after I'd eat all this food, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm done. And then I'd be like, okay, and this is a little embarrassing, but I'm just going to be forthright like I was in my book.
Uh-huh.
Because this is actually a big part of the out-of-body experience, is sex.
Yeah.
And I would become overwhelmed with sexual feelings. And I would want to have sex. And I, you know, Robert Monroe talks a lot about this in his books. And so do some of the other people. Patricia Garfield talked about how the out-of-body experience is integral to sex. And I've had some out-of-body experiences which were so orgasmic that it surpasses anything in real life. So I would manifest people occasionally and, you know, do the deed.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because if you're correct in saying it's an emotional body, that makes very much sense. I was really interested in maybe the power of thought on the astral body, in the astral plane. how to utilize that and maybe control it in such a way that's, you know, how would you do that?
Right. Well, initially, what happens is you pop out and you deal with your issues, right? So that's what I did. And this is true in other people's cases. They deal with their emotional issues, which you get over. And you can, once you manifest your or satisfy your desires, you can move on to more nobler pursuits. And the power of thought, oh my God, on the astral plane is paramount. Thought rules the universe, actually. The physical world is a hallucination. It's created by thought, and the astral plane responds to thought immediately. The physical world takes a long time to respond, whereas in the astral plane, the higher up you go, in fact, the quicker it responds. So if you're very high up there on some of the upper planes, you have to control your thoughts completely. And I've been there, and you sort of just meditate and you don't think, right? But what you do on these, I guess, lower astral planes, or I don't know where these all are. I just know that I'm going somewhere, right?
Yes.
On these astral planes, you can make requests. You control your thoughts and you shout out, I want to see my past lives. I want to visit my mother. I want to see the future. I want to see the past.
So your thought is kind of guiding you, or kind of like a navigator trying to lead you from one place to another. Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that whatever you think about is where you're going to go. I mean, if you think about a location, if you think about a person, this is what's going to happen. For me, when I popped out of body, I would become obsessed with various things. First, I wanted to find out that I was really out of body. Then I wanted to visit everyone I know. Then I wanted to visit, like, locations. And then I became obsessed with, like, wanting to see my mother, or learning about my past lives. I think
so
that was
going and visiting people that have deceased.
Right. So I'd go to the astral planes and I'd shout out, "Take me to see my mother." This is actually why I started going out of body in the first place, is because after my mom died, I started having dreams about her. I saw her ghost. She would come into my room. And she would say, "I'm not dead. Everything's fine." And I'd be like, "Oh, my God." And then I stumbled on a book about out-of-body experiences and did the exercises, and it started happening. And I became obsessed with trying to find my mother. I'd always call out to her, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom." And, you know, it almost never worked. She visited me on many, many occasions, but it was always her coming to see me. So finally, one day I'm out-of-body. I'm having this awesome out-of-body experience. It's lasting forever. And I finally remember, you know what? I should call for my mother. I was flying through the sky, and I'm like, I'm not even breathing. This is fascinating. I'm like, no, I'll call for my mom. And I'm like, Mom, 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 Mom. And she appeared, and she was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. I mean, she was much younger, and she was younger than I actually was at the time. She appeared about 25 years old. She had light brown hair. Normally her hair was black or gray. She died when she was 49 years old. So, and I didn't really know her as a young woman, but I still recognized her. And we hugged, and the reunion was very intense. I mean, if you can imagine, if you've ever lost a loved one, this is a real thing, to actually see your loved one again.
So it felt very real.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, she spoke telepathically to me, and not in words, just knowing. She would put knowingness in my mind. And she said, "You haven't seen anything yet. Just wait. I'm taking you on an adventure," right? And I'm like, oh, my God. And so she grabbed me by the hand, and we went into the next highest plane. And this is something I've done many times, and how I do it is I just go straight up as fast as I can. And I reach a barrier, and I pop through it.
So you actually feel a barrier between planes.
I don't necessarily. I have felt it. I mean, when I was trying to reach the Akashic plane or the Akashic library, I came upon this giant barrier, and I had to claw my way through it. I finally got a pinprick through it, and this beam of divine light shined on to me, and oh, I'm going to start crying. It pushed every negative thing out of me. every negative impurity, and I popped through into this plane of beautiful light.
Oh, my.
I'll never be able to describe the beauty of the astral plane sufficiently.
And anybody who's now joining us, this is UFOs and the Paranormal. My name is Christine Kisara Dennett, and I'm interviewing Preston Dennett, my brother-in-law, who has written a most remarkable book for beginners called Out of Body Exploring. And we're just discussing the book and his experiences and knowledge about astral worlds and the astral plane and astral projection. And the question that I have right now, since we're getting into higher planes, is how do you distinguish one plane from another? Is it a feeling? Is the experience of the whole place? Could you explain that to us?
Well, for my, I can only tell you really about my experience. I mean, I know what I've read with other people, and they've experienced being out of their body and then leaving their body while they're already out of body.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So they're having an astral body experience, and suddenly they're having another one. That really hasn't happened to me. For me, the experience has been a little bit different. And what happens to me is I will hit this barrier, and I will pop through it, and I just know I'm on a higher level.
Yes.
And there's a sense of intense vibration, of brightness, and of freedom and knowledge, and knowingness and joy. And, you know, the higher you go, the higher the ideals and become, the higher of a human being.
It must have some kind of impact on you when you go through these experiences. It must change you in some way.
It changes me profoundly. Let me just tell you what happened with my mother.
Oh, yes, okay.
And that'll illustrate exactly what you're talking about there. It does change you because, I mean, she said, I'm going to take you on this journey. And next thing we know, we fly straight up and we hit a barrier and we pop through it and we are in the astral plane. This is a lower astral plane, apparently, because she manifests a car, and we're going through this plane of all rocks and on this road, and rocks stretch out forever, and I'm looking at her, I'm like, what is going on? She's just kind of laughing that I'm bewildered, and she's like, just wait, you know, we just have to go through this part, and I was fascinated by the car. I'm like, wow, this car feels real. You know, I've manifested many things on the astral plane, and they are absolutely, exquisitely real. So it felt totally real. And suddenly we came to, just the car disappeared. We hit a barrier, not like an accident. I don't know how to describe it. There was, I guess, a period. I don't know how to describe it. But suddenly we came through a barrier, and we were elevated, and we were in a different place. We're flying hand in hand, and we are now, I'm not religious, Christy. I don't think I've actually been to church, but we were in heaven. I don't know how else to describe it.
Oh, wow.
So beautiful. It was the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Every single blade of grass was reflecting. Every single leaf was glowing. It was a beautiful pasture. There was, on the far side was a grove, a forest of trees. There was a stream running through this field. And there was tall grass, green grass, and we were flying over it about 5-10 feet, hand in hand, right up to the stream, which we landed in. And I'm like, wow, the texture of water on the astral plane I could write a book about. I've gone astral surfing. I've done all sorts of neat things with water.
Ooh.
And it doesn't get you wet. Otherwise, it's pretty much identical. Its texture is different. And
really neat.
We were throwing seaweed at each other, and you don't get dirty on the astral plane, so that's what she was teaching me. She was throwing seaweed in my face.
Oh, my.
Because, you know, she's a little mischievous, and she knew it wouldn't stick. And so she's like, okay, you haven't seen anything yet. And I was just so excited. I mean, that place loves you. It loves you so that you can never be depressed. It's a beautiful place to be. And so she's like, just wait. And she takes me by the hand, and we fly upwards. I learned later this is called scrying, and this is how you can get into another dimension, if you just fly upwards as fast as you can.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what we did, And we popped out into another dimension, which I don't know what to call, but it was, we were surrounded by an endless field of quartz crystals, or what are diamonds, or, you know, something crystally.
Yes.
And some were as big as houses, some were like mountains, some were as fine as sand, and it was extraordinarily varied and infinite and beautiful, and I could see 360 degrees around me. And I felt so pure. I felt so beautiful in this place, I can't tell you. I had all my hair back. Of course, when I go out of body, all my hair comes flowing back. I'm mostly bald now. But all my hair comes back, and my wrinkles fade.
That is so incredible.
And so we're sitting there, and I'm just soaking it up, and my mom is perched on one of the crystals near me, and she has a very good posture, and she's just really enjoying my amazement, right? She's just laughing it up, and she says, she points to the ground, and she says, look. And I look, and it turns bright orange. She makes it turn bright orange with her finger. She just points at it. And she says, taste it. She motions, you know, taste it. Scoop it up and put it in your mouth. I'm like, you have got to be kidding. Right? She's like, no, do it. Go ahead. You'll be amazed. And so I do it. I scoop up some of this orange crystal, and I pop it in my mouth, and it explodes like Pop Rocks, like that candy, with this orangey flavor. That is so intense that I have become obsessed with orange juice for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And I have never been able to duplicate it. And after that experience, I've always pop on the astral plane. And I'm like, okay, orange juice. And I manifest with a nice, tall glass of orange juice. I've done that I don't know how many times. because I don't know. I've never been able to duplicate it quite. So that was fun. And it stopped. And she's like, okay, you know, we got to go. And I'm like, okay. And so we popped down into the next plane, which is, and you feel a kind of, a sort of heaviness a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And we're in heaven now. We're in the pastoral plane, I call it. I don't know what to call it. The other side. This is where people go. I just know it.
Uh-huh.
There's pathways. There's benches. There's people there walking around. And my mom writes, I love you, I love you, with clouds in the sky.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, that was cool. Because, you know, there's this game you can play with manifesting, right? And she's gotten good at it. I've seen her artwork. I've seen her do a bunch of stuff since then, right?
Uh-huh.
And so she's like, it's time to go. And then she kind of leads me, and next thing I know, a tunnel appears, and I'm going through it. And this is very much like you've probably read about in near-death experiences. It's a bright tunnel of light. And I went very, very fast down it, and it was windy and long, and I had to go through several levels. And at one point I stopped, and I manifested a dream diary, and I wrote down what happened. And I had to step on level, and stop and recall until I finally got to the physical plane. And I woke up, and I stopped, and I recalled, and I wrote it down. It was a very, very tricky process of remembering.
That's such an amazing dream, and it seemed like it lasted forever. I mean,
right. It wasn't a dream, I'm telling you.
A travel, I guess is what I'd call it.
And what this does to you, I mean, I came back from that feeling like I could fly. I later learned that a lot of astral travelers have actually levitated, and I became so obsessed with the subject, I wrote a book on it.
Oh, yes, levitation.
And so, I mean, you feel like you can fly, because you actually do fly in the astral plane, and what happens is if you do this astral travel a bunch, the abilities you have in the astral plane start to manifest on the physical plane. And for me, the most profound, I would say, was precognition. So I would come back with dreams that would come true most of the time that I had an out-of-body experience. And this began to manifest into actual waking visions. Like one time, I'm driving to the bank. I'm like, okay, I need $40. I'm going to the ATM. And as I'm getting closer, I start to get anxious. And this has happened, you know, a lot to me. I'll be driving, I start to get anxious, and I sense danger, right? And then suddenly this vision pops into my head, clear as day. I see a tall biker dude dressed in leathers with really long hair, tattoos up and down his arms, and he's whipping his hair around like a maniac. He's got long hair, and he's whipping it like a rock star or something. I don't know.
Huh.
But he's dangerous. He's a very big man, and I see him, right? And I'm like, That's what I thought. That's a weird thing to see because, you know, you keep your mind clear, these images will come to you.
Yes.
And so I'm driving, not thinking much of it, but it just gets overwhelming. I'm like, what is going on? And I come around the corner, and I got the biggest shock because there he was, right standing next to the ATM. And he was whipping his hair around. And I'm like, oh, whoa! You know, and you get this really weird feeling, like the physical world becomes very dreamlike.
Yeah.
And you sort of you realize that, in fact, it is a dream. And this is what the Buddhist enlightened monks talk about. You can actually manifest stuff in the physical world because it is a dream. And for me, I would just have these amazing visions and stuff. And this happened just a couple of days ago. I'm driving on the freeway. I told you this.
Yeah.
And death, I could just feel it. I started to have this weird, awful feeling of death. And right when it got really pronounced, bam, the car in front of me rear-ended the car in front of him very, very hard.
It almost sounds like you had an out-of-body experience, kind of, during the time that you're awake.
Well, you can actually, what happens is you can actually start to, yeah, you get the astral abilities in your physical body, and you don't have to go out-of-body necessarily to see the astral plane, because that's what's happening when people are having visions. And there is no time on the astral plane.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's so easy to visit the past and the future and learn your past lives. I learned all about my past lives. I learned I was raped and killed. I learned I was in the Holocaust. I learned I lived a life as a Native American and went through the spirit quest. And I learned I was in slavery times and kept as a slave. And I don't know if any of this is real. It feels real, but it sort of resonates with your personality in a lot of ways, and you learn a lot about your interests and your fears and your desires.
Yes.
And what's funny is, I mean, you call out, you say, I want to see my past life. And what happens is you're taken to probably the most profound or traumatic incident in that life, the one that you haven't dealt with emotionally,
mm-hmm.
the one that is connected to your present life, you know, that's holding some significance to it.
Well, it's so fascinating. I think through my own personal experience, I have trouble remembering what occurs. I wake up with a feeling like I have been somewhere, or I wake up where I feel like I've been awake all night long.
Right, right.
And I know that I've astral planed, but I don't remember it. Is there a technique that you use to remember?
Absolutely. That's probably one of the biggest problems. And what you want to do is throughout the day, you ask yourself, am I dreaming? Am I out of body right now? And you have to do this religiously, with discipline. This is, you know, easy to do. Out of body experiences is just applied knowledge. And here is the knowledge. All you have to do is ask yourself that question every hour. And what happens is you start to ask yourself that question while you're sleeping. Because the fact is, you actually don't sleep. You have this the brain is active during sleep. Brain studies have shown this. And you have this stream of consciousness that's constantly going on in your mind. And if you can insert this statement, am I dreaming, am I out of body right now, into this stream of consciousness, it will translate into the dream state, and you will ask it in the dream state. And what will happen is you'll ask in the dream state, and suddenly you'll realize, oh my God, I am out of body. And you can realize this through various techniques. One way is permeability. What you want to do is try and push your finger through a wall or a desk or a table or a chair or anything solid. And if your finger permeates it, then you are out of body. So this
I'm is doing it right now.
Yeah, so if you do this every hour on the day, just try and stick your finger through a wall every hour, constantly, wherever you are. One of these days you'll be walking along and your hand will go right through the wall. And you will have the biggest moment of enlightenment that you've ever experienced, because suddenly you'll wake up for real in your real body, and you'll be out of body. So that's a really, really powerful technique. Get more sleep. Write down your dreams. Your dreams are messages from your higher self. Very, very important.
And there's certain times, I think, when you do actually leave your body, like a certain state of mind. Is that in between sleep and awakefulness?
Well, for most people, it's going to be during the sleeping hours because this is the only time they have to do it. You can go out of body anytime. And if you're really good at it, people are able to actually maintain consciousness and walk around awake and still have out-of-body experiences.
Wow.
Now, that is really, really advanced. I've not been able to do that. The closest I've gotten to, that's called bilocation, right? And you can actually manifest physical bodies in multiple locations if you're super advanced. But the closest I've gotten was being out-of-body on another dimension and being able to feel my physical body and sense everything in the room and knowing I could actually get up. But I was too afraid to do so.
Uh-huh.
So.
That's really extraordinary. I mean, there must be a lot of benefits to astral projection.
Physical healing. Now, you would never believe this, but I've got like 20 cases of people who've healed themselves of physical illnesses through the energies of the astral plane. And I've actually been taken to like heal people on a couple of times.
Wow.
I've healed myself. You know, I've done some healing work on myself, and there's a lot of cases of astral travelers who've healed themselves of all sorts of conditions, from colds to liver disease to cuts to hemorrhoids, you name it. And I wrote all about this actually in an article for Fate, and what you do is basically ask for a healing. You pop out of body and you try and get access to these healing energies, and so there are healing centers in the astral plane. It's amazing.
That is really amazing.
You know what? I think the funnest thing for me, though, is how it applies to the waking life, is how much it changes your waking life, your awareness, all the psychic stuff that happens. I've been able to predict all the births in my family. I've predicted numerous gifts, unusual visits, any unusual event. I mean, I remember talking to you, telling you some of my dreams, and we would be there together when it happened. That happened when we were watching what's that movie, Jurassic Park.
Uh-huh.
Or it happened when they found a mammoth, a woolly mammoth. I knew that they would find a woolly mammoth in the Arctic. And they did, and I knew that it would have all its contents in its stomach of food, and it did. So
that's really exciting.
For
everybody that's listening, I'm sure they'd be curious on how to have an out-of-body experience, like the very beginning level.
Right, I should say that.
I know in your book, on the last chapter, you kind of explain how to have an out-of-body experience.
Yes, I definitely have to get into that because it looks like we only have like 3 minutes left. So let me see. There's three basic steps. The first step is physical relaxation. And this is the step that I think trips up most people, because you really, really do want to get profoundly relaxed until you feel like one of these sensations, which is either numbness, heaviness, lightness, maybe even eroticism, but mostly vibrations. So you really want to be profoundly relaxed to the point where you even can't feel your body. And step two is becoming mentally relaxed. And that's where you want to kind of stop that chatter that's constantly in your mind, because what happens is this chatter, this stream of consciousness, turns into images, into a dream, and you fall into it. You walk right into it, and you think you're awake, and you're unconscious astral, or subconscious astral. And so you want to slow down this stream of consciousness and become mentally relaxed, and instead insert visualizations and affirmations. And by affirmations, I mean you want to tell yourself, I will go out of body. I will remember to go out of body. I will remember everything that happens to me tonight. And by visualizations, there's a bunch of them, 100. And all of them, most of them involve movement. Like, imagine yourself on a swing set. Imagine yourself on the bow of a boat going up and down the waves, on an escalator or in an elevator, or anything that will give you a sense of movement, having helium balloons tied to your limbs. All of this will lift you right out. And then you're ready to go. Then you just shout out, take me where I need to go, which is a really fun command. Or, I want to see my past lives, or whatever you want to do. And that's
uh-huh.
how you do it. Very easy. All it takes is the desire to do it, and it's as safe as sleeping.
So it's just two steps, and you're out of your body.
Three
steps.
Yeah. Physical relaxation, mental relaxation, and then visualization.
And then visualization.
But that's pretty much the time we have, I think.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, when I was going through it, it was like I had no instruction.
Right.
It just happened. And I ended up spinning on the top of my ceiling, and I had no idea what was happening to me. I was 14 years old, and my sister woke me up.
Wow.
So this book is just one of the best things that I've ever read, and I've read other books too, but yours is very comprehensive, and through your experience, I think people can really relate to their own personal experiences.
Well, thank you. Thank you for hosting the show.
Thank you for letting me.
I guess we got to close it down now.
Okay. So, thank you for listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. My name is Christine Kisara-Dennett, and we just got done talking to Preston Dennett, author of Out of Body Exploring, A Beginner's Approach. Thank you very much.